Chapter 6, When Freedom Seems Backwards. Warning. This chapter goes against what culture is telling you, but the question remains the same. What if Jesus meant what he said? You no longer have rights. You no longer are in control. Your life does not belong to you. You voluntarily give it all to him. Period. This might sound like bad news, but hang on. It's freedom. To illustrate this reality, grab a blank sheet of paper. It doesn't matter what size or color it is, or if it is lined or perforated. Now, sign the bottom of the blank page. This is what you give God. This is the reality of denying self. You hand God a blank contract to do as he wishes with your life, with your dreams, with your relationships, with your death. Remember, his care for you is unrivaled. His power is limitless. His love is eternal and his wisdom is unfathomable. You can trust him. The story he wants to paint on the canvas of your life is far greater than you could imagine, and it will be eternally significant. Remember, everything you have came from him in the first place. He isn't out to ruin your existence. He is out to give you the life you were created to live. Chasing freedom. As a former cast member, term used for Disney employees, at the Disney store, what can I say? I'm a fan. Invite me to your next Disney karaoke night and chances are I'm in. But I can't help but notice the increasingly distorted way many Disney films define freedom. Consider, for example, The Lion King. Simba's pursuit of freedom from restrictions led him to burst into song. No one's saying do this, no one's saying be there, no one's saying stop that, no one's saying see here, free to run around all day, free to do it all my way. Elsa proclaimed the same worldview in Frozen. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. Let it go. This same ideology is embedded in Aladdin and Jasmine's duet, A Whole New World, one of my favorite Disney songs. They proclaim to each other, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no or where to go or say we're only dreaming. Do you see the parallel between each version of freedom in these songs? No restrictions and no authority outside of self. If this is true, Jesus came to bring bondage. But what if true freedom is not the absence of authority, but the presence of ultimate love? What if God actually loves you more than you love yourself? What if God has bigger plans for your life than anything you could conceive? What if true freedom can only be experienced in submission? Rebellion against the one who loves us doesn't provide freedom. It perverts it. But rebellion is not the only way to pervert freedom. There's another way. Over the course of World War II, millions of Jews and their sympathizers were herded to concentration camps across Northern Europe, where the majority ended their stay in the infamous gas chambers constructed for their annihilation. I've visited some of these camps, such as Dachau and Auschwitz, and the sign welcoming visitors is haunting. In large capital letters above the camp's iron gates, these words are emblazoned. Arbeit macht frei, meaning work sets you free. Those three German words may have sparked hope in the hearts of some prisoners, but not for long. Inside those gates, they would learn the truth. They'd been deceived. Sadly, this lie that work sets us free still lives on in many hearts today, particularly in the church. Many think of freedom as a destination in their Christian life. They think freedom is attained through appeasing God, and if we work in accordance to his will, we will be free in the end. We can diagnose this attitude with a simple equation. Are we saying, if I do, fill in the blank, then God will do, fill in the blank? Understand that I am not speaking here of freedom from the wrath of God. We receive full forgiveness and acceptance when we trust the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. That freedom is called salvation and ensures our position before God as righteous in Christ. What I am speaking of is the call to deny self, which gives us a freedom to enjoy His love even more. Notice I did not say freedom to be more loved by God. God won't love you more than He already does. The Word of God says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. This is the love with which God loved us. Jesus Christ already came to this cursed world to redeem your soul by giving His own life. But you choose how much you will enjoy His love for you and enter into the intimacy He offers. You can abide in His love by surrendering to Him entirely, or you can live in disobedience and bondage to sin. More than a checklist. Instead of pursuing God like a game to win, understand that He wants to be known as your God who yearns for you. His Word, the Bible, is a love letter in which every story, page, and word reveals the heart of our Creator. In any love relationship, when letters are exchanged, every detail is important. Did she sign off with all my love? Or did he just get a sincerely? Did he use one of her nicknames? Was the letter scribbled quickly and without passion? Did he fragrance the envelope with her favorite cologne? Did she dot her I's the normal way, or did she make a Disney squiggly circle over them? Yes, we notice these things because it reveals the heart of the one who writes. The call to deny self is much more than a checklist and far more extreme than any set of rules. Following Christ is a pursuit. Denying self is a daily prerequisite for knowing Him more intimately. Jesus doesn't compete for the throne of our lives. It must be yielded. The only way to pursue Christ is to give Him the reins of our lives. He is Lord. He cannot be merely a good idea. Think of it this way. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Our lives have been hijacked by love itself. We are called to live dead to self, that true life might reign. Our journey in living dead to self begins with knowing Him, learning of Him, talking to Him, listening to His voice, and framing our lives by His Word, which we will discuss in the pages that follow. Diving into deny. Take a closer look at the word Jesus uses, deny. The word in Greek is aparneomai. It comes from two words, apo, meaning separation, and arneomai, meaning to deny someone, to reject, or to refuse something offered. To simplify, we could say this word means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. Another way to say it would be to forget oneself and to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. This is no mere rearrangement of priorities or renovation of self. Death is taking place. Life is being birthed. A simple way to remember the difference between self-denial and denial of self is this. Self comes first in self-denial. Our focus in self-denial is on doing, not pursuing. On the flip side, the focus in denial of self is not on doing, but on surrendering to the one who has redeemed us by His blood. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. No one can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. For Christ to have the throne of your life, you must relinquish authority. Deny self. He will not force his way onto the throne of your life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. What he says goes. Where he says, we go. Our understanding of the why is not a prerequisite for obedience, when we know the who. This is at the heart of denying self. If we obey the words of Christ, only when we understand what he is asking of us, we treat him as merely our teacher. If we obey the words of Christ, even when we don't understand the why, we honor him as our Lord. Do we try to fit God into the way we want to live, or do we allow God to transform the way we live? Do we delay obedience when God's word doesn't make sense to our way of thinking and living? A transformed life runs everything through the filter of God's glory, not through the filters of comprehension and convenience. So how does this happen practically? Keep listening.